Chapter 6 At the Palace. A carpenter was commanded to build a wooden box that would be a bedroom for me. It had two windows, a door, and two closets, like a beautiful English bedroom. The board that made the ceiling could be lifted up and down, and a large bed was put in. The Queen enjoyed being with me so much that she couldn't eat dinner without me. A little table was put for me next to the Queen's plate, with a little chair to sit on. Glumdalclitch sat near me to help me. I had a set of silver dishes and plates that were the same size as the dollhouse dishes you can see in a London toy shop. The Queen always put a bit of meat on one of my dishes and loved to watch me eat. The King liked to talk with me, asking me about the manners, religion, politics, and education of Europe. I gave him the best descriptions I could, and he listened very carefully. He often picked me up in his right hand and laughed at the things I told him. He would say that it was very funny that even in such a tiny creature as I, there could be titles and distinctions of honor, and that the people of my country built little nests and holes that they called houses and cities. When he talked in this way, my face grew hot and red, for I was angry to hear my great country being laughed at. But even I laughed at myself when the Queen held me in her hand and stood in front of a mirror, and I could see both of us together. There was nothing more ridiculous than the comparison of our sizes. The Queen often criticized me for being cowardly, and she used to ask me whether the people of my country were all cowards like I was. The reason was this. There were a lot of flies in the kingdom in summer, and these disgusting insects, each of them as big as an English pigeon, bothered me during my dinner with their constant humming and buzzing around my ears. They sometimes landed on my food or on my nose or forehead. They smelled terrible, and I could easily see the disgusting sticky liquid which enabled them to walk on walls and ceilings. I had a lot of trouble defending myself against those terrible animals and couldn't stop myself from jumping up with fear when they tried to land on my head. My solution was to cut them to pieces with my knife as they flew in the air, and my skills at this was admired by everyone. Besides the large box in which I was usually carried, the Queen ordered a smaller one to be made for me, about 12 feet square and 10 feet high, for traveling, because the other one was too large for Glumdalclitch's lap. This traveling box had a window in the middle of three of the walls, and each window had iron wire placed over it to prevent accidents in long journeys. On the fourth side, which had no window, there were two strong hooks through which the person who carried me put a leather belt, which he put around his waist. I would have lived very happily in that country if my size had not exposed me to several ridiculous and frightening accidents. Glumdalclitch often carried me into the palace's garden in my smaller box and sometimes took me out of it and held me in her hand, or put me down on the ground to walk around. One afternoon, Glumdalclitch put me down on some grass to walk by myself and went to another part of the garden with her friends. While she was gone and out of hearing, a small white dog belonging to one of the gardeners began to run around near the place where I sat. The dog, following my smell, came right up to me, took me in his mouth, ran straight to his master, wagging his tail, and put me gently on the ground. Luckily, it had been so well taught that it carried me between its teeth without hurting me or even tearing my clothes. But the poor gardener, who knew me well, was very frightened. He gently took me up in both hands and asked me if I was okay, but I was so amazed and out of breath I could not speak. In a few minutes I recovered, and he carried me to my little nurse. She was very angry at the gardener because of his dog, but she and the gardener remained quiet about what had happened, because the girl was afraid that the Queen would be angry. I also thought it wouldn't be very good for me if everyone found out about what had happened to me. This accident made Glumdalclitch never want to let me out of her sight again. I had been afraid of this decision for a long time. I love to have a bit of time to myself every day, so I didn't tell her about some other little unlucky adventures that happened in those times when I was left by myself. Once, a raven flying over the garden tried to grab me, and if I hadn't pulled out my sword and run under a large flower, it would have certainly carried me away in its claws. Another time, walking to the top of a fresh molehill, I fell up to my neck in the hole and had to lie later in order to explain why my clothes were dirty. And once I hurt my right leg against the shell of a snail, which I happened to fall over as I was walking alone and thinking about England, which I so painfully missed.